Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through Jesus Christ. Amen. A husband and wife have been arguing a lot lately. During the holiday season, he's been having to be working more, and while he was physically distant, he would come home to a wife who was emotionally distant. And during the holiday times where people offer warm greetings to one another, their love and their marriage began to grow cold. And one night in their routine arguments, the wife fired out, "Do you even love me anymore?" And the husband responded with, "Come on, baby, you know I love everyone." How well do you think that response would go over if they're in that situation? Probably not good, right? Guys, I don't recommend using that if you're ever in that situation. Because what is it? She's looking for love and reassurance of her love. But instead, the husband just gives some vague answer of, "I love everyone." And the reason for that is the principle that we're going to talk about today, that love must be shown to be made known. Love must be shown to be made known. You can tell someone you love them, but if you don't have the actions to back it up with it, what good is that? Because we must show our love if we want it to be made known to someone. And that applies to our human relationships, but I also think it applies to our relationship with God. So you've been coming to church, and you've heard things that God is love, or that we have a loving God. But have you ever doubted that? Have you ever looked at your own life, and when you see that things aren't going so great, begin to question if God really is a loving God? But today we are going to look at one verse that proves that God loves us and cares for us. In the Old Testament times, when people were waiting for the Messiah to come, Jesus was promised to come for thousands of years, but during that time they waited and waited and waited, and they probably wondered if God truly was loving them. But today we're going to find out through the Christmas story, through the meaning of Christmas, that God truly showed his love to us so that it may be made known to everyone. And that one verse comes from John 1. Here it is. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the one verse we're going to focus on today. And the other gospel accounts, you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They talk about the life and death of Jesus. And in Luke 2, everyone's heard of Luke 2 before, the great Christmas stories with the angels and the manger and the shepherds, and it's wonderful, right? It's a beautiful story. But in the book of John, it reads a little bit more like a philosophy textbook. And you have to break down what he's saying to get the true meaning of Christmas for us. So today we're going to look at those three terms. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So first, let's talk about the Word. The Word is a name that is given to Jesus. Jesus is described as the Word. That's interesting, right? Because if you can probably make a lot of assumptions of someone just by looking at them, right? You can maybe guess kind of how old they are, maybe what profession they have, maybe some of their values just by the type of clothes they wear and how expensive it is. You can kind of make some assumptions about somebody just by looking at them. But you can't really say you've known someone or that you've met someone until you've actually talked with them, right? Imagine you have someone come over to your house and you're not sure if she likes coffee or tea. Well, what can you do? You could just make both of them be safe. You can make one or the other. Or before she comes over, you could text her and say, "Hey, what do you like better, coffee or tea?" And once you exchange words, then you know. That's how you get to know somebody, is through words. And Jesus is called the Word. So if you want to get to know God, if you want to understand who he is, what he values, what his personality is like, you need to look at the Word. In many other religions, you think of God as just some, or they talk about how a prophet comes on behalf of God. "I'm a prophet sent from God, and here I am, listen to me, this is what God is like." But instead, in Christianity, Jesus is actually God. He is the true Word. He's the way how we get to know Jesus. He's the way that God reveals to us who he really is. And that happens through Jesus. And someone took the time to speak the Word to you so that you can understand God, so that you can believe in him. That happened through the Word of God, that you got to know the Word. And that's why the Word is so important, because it's the way who God reveals to us who he really is. So that's the first thing, that's the Word. But now we're going to talk about how the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. That means that Jesus, the Word, became a human, just like you and me. which meant that Jesus, he wept, he cried, he was hungry, he thirsted, he had emotions, a personality, just like we do. Jesus was the same as we were. He was a human, but there was one big difference. He never sinned. Jesus was tempted like we were, but in the book of Hebrews it said he was tempted, but he never sinned, because he is both true God and true man at the exact same time. And because of that, he can relate to us. And at Christmas time, we give God all sorts of different titles. We say he's Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, Wonderful Counselor. And that one phrase, that one title we give him, I want to talk about, is the phrase, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Why is God a wonderful counselor? Well, if you think about good counselors, it's usually somebody that has gone through that same very experience and has come through the other end. Let me give you a couple examples of that. If you're an alcoholic, who's the best counselor of an alcoholic? Someone who used to be an alcoholic and got over it and is now helping other people. Or what about someone who loses a child? That's a terrible experience, but you know what? When someone goes through that, they are probably more equipped to help out someone else, another parent who goes through that exact same situation. Because the counselors, they've experienced that same problem that they had. Jesus is our wonderful counselor because he became flesh. Have you ever felt lonely? Well, so did he. Have you ever felt abandoned by your friends? Well, so did he. Have you ever felt like you got in trouble for doing the right thing? Well, so did he. Jesus is the Word who became flesh, and that means he understands everything that you're going through. There once was an old urologist who used to treat patients who had kidney stones. Bet you didn't think we were going to talk about kidney stones this morning, but here we go. So there was an old urologist who used to treat people who had kidney stones. And back in the day when they would treat people like this, they would pump them full of fluids and kind of just throw them on the table and do a procedure to help them. And it's an understatement to say that this doctor had bad bedside manner. But one time, that all changed. Well, it changed when that doctor himself had a kidney stone. And then they pumped him full of fluids and threw him on the table and proceeded to operate on him, and he screamed in pain. But you know what happened after that? After he had that procedure? For the rest of his life as a doctor, he was more gentle with his patients and treated them better because he understood the pain that they were going through. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He understands what you're going through. Some of us have had incredible years where you've lost your relationship, a marriage, the dream. But listen, the Word became flesh. He knows what it's like to be alone. Jesus knows what it's like to have relationship problems because he's the Word who became flesh. And some of us have had incredible years relating to our finances where you've lost the job and you've lost your savings account and you struggle to get by. But listen, the Word became flesh. Jesus knows what it's like to not have much, and he will take care of you through it as well. That's because he is the Word who became flesh. He's the Word who became flesh, but he also dwelt among us. And dwelt among us, more literally from the Greek, the language that the Bible was written in, it means tented among us, like a tent. Or even more literal, like a tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. And for any Jewish reader reading this book of John, they would have seen that phrase and then had thoughts of the tabernacle. And the interesting thing about the tabernacle was in the Old Testament, that was the way how Old Testament believers would come and worship God. They couldn't be directly in his presence because they were sinners. So they would go to the tabernacle and they'd have to offer a sacrifice to have access to God, and they'd have to do this every single week, and only certain people, certain high priests could go into the center room because it was a special place and God's presence was blocked off from them because they were sinners and they had a powerful God. But Jesus came and became a tabernacle for us. Jesus is now the way how we have access to God. We don't need to make a sacrifice to God anymore to come into his presence because Jesus was that perfect sacrifice for us. Jesus came and dwelled among us, and he did that first at Christmas by coming to this world, but then he also grew up as a man and died for us to take away all of our sins so that we don't have that barrier between us and God anymore. Instead, that perfect sacrifice, he is now the way we have access to God. So So now we can pray to God, we can have faith in him, we can trust in him, because Jesus dwelt among us. There once was an author, a British author from the early 1900s named Dorothy Sayers. And she made a series of mystery novels with the main character named Lord Peter Wimsey. Kind of a British name. He was a great detective. He had a good life for the most part. And he would solve all these mysteries just for the fun of it. But this detective, he had one problem. He was single. He was a bachelor. He lived all by himself, and he was often quite pretty lonely. But eventually in these stories, there's a character who showed up, and her name was Harriet. And she wasn't particularly beautiful, but she was nice, and she was very smart. And eventually, Peter fell in love with Harriet, and it solved his problem. But the interesting thing about that story is that any scholar who looks at literature, they all agree that the character Harriet was based off of the very life of Dorothy Sayers, the author of this book. So what you have here is you have an author of a book. She looked down at her character and saw that he was lonely, and she wrote herself into that story so that she could have a relationship with him. And isn't that cute? Isn't that nice to hear around the holiday season about an author who writes herself into a story? But that's what God actually did for us. God is the author of life. He's the one who created us, and he saw our problem. He saw our problem of sin and our future of going to hell. But God wrote himself into our story. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that he could change our story, so that we could go to heaven and be with him one day because of what Jesus did for us. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means that love must be shown to be made known. God demonstrated his love for us by becoming flesh for us so that it may be known to everyone. And during this time of our life, we also do all sorts of things to make sure that our love is shown and made known to all sorts of people. During Christmas time, what better example of showing our love to others than by giving gifts and having meals together and enjoying each other's company? And that's because love must be shown to be made known. And we do that because we have the love of Christ in our hearts. We know what Christ did for us, and now we too will show that love to others so that they may be known for us. And this isn't always easy, but God will give us the strength. The God who made his love known to us will give you the strength. And we do this all in Jesus' name.